I'm pulling on my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another drive to work. Okay, so today is all about the vision design of Lorwyn Eclipsed. So let me first do a little setting up of the scene, how we got there. Many years ago, Bill Rose informed me, we had previously done, during Ravnica block, we had done a fourth block. We had made a decision not to tie it into the block and made what's called Cold Snap. I was never super happy with that. So I said to Bill, the next time you want to do a four-step block, talk to me. I'll integrate it. I'll make it part of the whole block. So Bill came to me. He said, okay, it's time. And so what I came up with was, instead of doing like large, small, 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 like I said, we need to shake it up a little bit. I don't think we can, we have enough trouble with three sets in a block. So what if instead of doing one normal block, we did two mini blocks, each of which was a large set and then a small set. And then the idea was it'd be set in the same world, but the world would go through some radical change such that the two mini blocks were connected but different. And that's when we came up with the idea of what if the world had some element of it, some natural occurrence that fundamentally changed what the world was. And the low-hanging fruit we liked was light and dark. Lorwyn, the idea was, had been tagged to be a typal set. And then we ended up coming up with the idea of making Shadow more a color matter set with a high hybrid amount. So anyway, we did this. We had there four sets. There was Lorwyn, the large set, Morningtide, the small set, Shadowmoor, the big set, Eventide, the small set. And we brought to the world Lorwyn and Shadowmoor. And it didn't go as well as we had hoped. I think Lorwyn, for its time, is the worst-selling large set ever in Magic. It didn't get read. I think the only world that got rated lower in market research was Kamigawa. So anyway, it did very badly. And we have so many fun worlds, and so we tend to go to worlds that didn't do so badly. So we really put off Lorwyn. But then people on my blog had really, really been bugging us to go to Kamigawa. We decided we were going to do a new take on a Japanese set more influenced by pop culture than just mythology. And because I realized there was so much desire, at least from the enfranchised players, I and a few other people convinced them to make it Kamigawa. And now it was much time had gone by. A whole element of the plane was the more modern plane, the more pop culture inspired. But it ended up creating this fun, you know, modern versus traditional sort of flavor. But anyway, we made Kamigawa, Neon Dynasty. It went over really, really well. So well, in fact, that I had been trying to go back to Lorwyn. I really wanted to go back to Lorwyn. The problem was, it just was a hard sell. That whenever you try to say, well, I want to go to this place that didn't work the first time, people are like, well, are there sets we could go back to that did work the first time? You go, yes. They go, let's go back to those sets. But one of the things that I realized early on was that under the new model, like, it was a big ask to get back to Lorwyn and Shadowmoor, right? It was not a set that was an easy thing to green light. So I'm like, okay, how do I do it in one set rather than in two sets? So at the end of the story, of the Lorwyn story, Una, who's this fairy, sort of stops the Aurora, which is the thing that changes between the two. We don't really explain what that means. What does it mean with no Aurora? Well, the idea that I came up with was the idea of what if instead of separating them, like when the Aurora existed, the world was all, it was either all Lorwyn or all Shadowmoor. What if they started merging? And the creative team liked to use the marble cake analogy. Like it's a marble cake where some of the cake is vanilla and some of the cake is chocolate, you know. Oh, the only difference is ours is a swirling where imagine the marble cake that could change. But anyway, I like the idea of what if the world incorporated with each other. Since we had made Lorwyn, we had made double-faced cards in Innistrad. I'm like, oh, maybe we could show double-faced cards to show individual things changing. And anyway, I pitched this idea of sort of a return to Lorwyn, but it's Lorwyn and Shadowmoor mixed together. I think my initial pitch was the idea that there was conflict between Lorwyn and Shadowmoor. The idea being any one person at any one moment in time, like, I could be for Lorwyn on Lorwyn's side till I step into Shadowmoor. Now I'm for Shadowmoor's side. So I think the pitch I had was an intertangled world, but there was some, I thought the core conflict was going to be Lorwyn versus Shadowmoor. Anyway, Kamigawa's success, well, two things. Once Kamigawa was successful, I got a lot more people saying, let's go back to other places. And the number one places people wanted was Lorwyn. So much so, by the way, that we did a survey at one point through our market research, and we on it said, where would you like to return? And we listed a whole bunch of places, including Lorwyn and Shadowmoor. And I think it came in second. It did really, really well. So a lot of the anecdotal stuff that I've been getting in my blog, that survey, like, we're like, okay, Kamigawa did well. Okay, let's go back to Lorwyn. We got the thumbs up to go back to Lorwyn. So when we started Lorwyn, I think the idea we originally started with, which is my concept of Lorwyn versus Shadowmoor. So we started looking at a little bit like Mirrodin Besiege. In fact, Mark Gottlieb led the design. The design team was led by Mark Gottlieb. It was him, Dan Musser, who did play design, Doug Beyer and Emily Tang, who did creative, Eric Lauer and Jeremy Geist, and me. And so early on, we were sort of looking kind of like we had done Mirrodin Besiege, which Gottlieb had led, which handed off to Eric. Okay, what if there's a Shadowmoor portion of the set and a Lorwyn portion of the set? And early on, I was like, what if half is Lorwyn and half is Shadowmoor? So one of the things we did is we went through all the mechanics in the set, in all four Lorwyn block sets, and said, okay. And I think we put them into three categories. We put them into, we definitely have to do this. We could do this. We don't think we're going to do this. And the ones that were in the absolutely positively is, there's no way to go back to Lorwyn and not do Typal. Typal was such, like, iconic to what Lorwyn was. And there's no way we were doing Typal and not do Changeling. In fact, every time we do Typal, we keep talking about, do we want Changeling? So it's hard not to do Changeling in the place where Changelings were created. And then for the Shadowmoor side, we're like, okay, well, we definitely have to do hybrid, although we do hybrid most sets these days. And we really wanted, we knew color matters had to be a thing. We did talk a lot about minus one counters. I think we technically put that in the maybe category. There are a bunch of mechanics we put in the maybe category. You know, maybe evoke, maybe champion, maybe wither or persist if we use minus one counters. You know, we had a bunch, and then we had a bunch of like, conspire and, kinship, and there are a bunch of mechanics that didn't really, weren't that popular. We're like, okay, we don't have a great need to revisit that. So eventually what happened at some point in Vision is we realized that we were kind of missing. The cool part of Lorwyn and Shadowmoor intermingling with each other wasn't that Lorwyn could fight with Shadowmoor, although thematically, there's some interesting story points there, but the more interesting thing mechanically was that you could start mixing Lorwyn and Shadowmoor together. Lorwyn and Shadowmoor each had a very distinct set of mechanical themes. It might be fun to start mixing those themes in a way that we just couldn't. You know, when you're in Lorwyn and Shadowmoor. Oh, the other reason that I was really interested in mixing Lorwyn and Shadowmoor is when we first made Lorwyn and Shadowmoor, there was nothing like Lorwyn and there was nothing like Shadowmoor. They were very unique. But now we have a lot more brighter, you know, we have Eldraine, we have Bloomborough, and the darker sets, you know, we've done Innistrad. Like, we've done light and dark worlds that have a little more inherent to them. And that the cool thing about Lorwyn and Shadowmoor was the duality. That was the most interesting thing about it. And so to just do one or just do the other kind of missed, you miss the duality in the thing in which you don't see both sides. And that was really intriguing to us. Okay, so once we realized that we could sort of do Lorwyn and Shadowmoor and some combination of Lorwyn and Shadowmoor, that really started driving where we wanted to go. And we talked to the creative team. So the development was run by Michael Majors, it was the set lead, Eric Lauer, Emily Tang, Jeremy Geis, Neil LaPont Johnson, who ended up being the creative lead for the set, Ian Duke, Chris Kvartek, and Jules Robbins was the development, set design team. So anyway, the idea was, let's sort of get sort of the best of both worlds. Originally, the idea when we were going to do one versus the other, we had the idea of five factions that were Lorwyn factions and five factions that were Shadowmoor factions. In the end, what we ended up doing was, I mean, this is kind of a little bit different. we ended up leaning toward, there's five typal factions. They don't, early on we looked at maybe doing them as ally, but we realized it sort of naturally fit what we wanted. We actually did five, we did a cycle in which all the colors are represented twice. What we ended up with is white, blue is merfolk, black, red is goblin, green, white is kithkin, blue, red is elemental, and black, green is elves. We also, one of the things we realized as we sort of dug in more, that we leaned a little more toward Lorwyn than Shadowmoor. It was called Lorwyn Eclipsed. I mean, we didn't know that at the time, but we knew it, we kept referring to it as Return to Lorwyn. We knew that Lorwyn had, probably would shine a little bit more. So the thing we tried, in the set design tried, was what if the typal themes, the five typal themes, are those archetypes are a little bit more prevalent. We expect people to play them a little bit more than half. Normally when we make a draft environment, we make 10 archetypes and we try to balance them pretty evenly. This time, we gave a little bit more weight to the typal archetypes and a little less weight to the other ones. The idea was the low-hanging fruit of the typal strategies, if you're newer to draft, is what you're going to want to do anyway. But if you're a more experienced drafter, there are five other themes built in there that you can discover. I think when we did the article that talked about draft, we didn't list all 10 of them, which is probably a mistake in retrospect. We just listed the typal ones. But the idea is there are 10 there. There's lots to discover. If you enjoy drafting, we really wanted to make sure that... one of the problems with the original Lorwyn was it was really on rails, and it was hard. Drafts were a little more alike each other than we liked. Like, if I played goblins, there are a lot of cards that only I, the goblin player, are taking, and so the gameplay of a goblin deck was a lot more the same from draft to draft. Not identical, but more similar. And the idea was we wanted to add more elements in to do that. So, obviously... we knew we wanted the Lorwyn part of it to be typal themed. We knew we were going to use Changeling. That part was sort of, we most understood that part, and it's the thing that people clearly understood. And then we have a lot of reps on. We've done a lot of typal things. It was the Shadowmoor side that was a little more, what exactly did we want to do? So first, let me talk minus one counters. We did minus one, minus... I mean, early Magic did whatever. I think the first set that uses minus one counters as, like, a block theme was, I think, Scars of Mirrodin, which was the Return of the Phyrexians, and we were using it to show, like, the spreading of the disease. That is where Persist and Wither originally came from. And we then used minus one counters again during Amakant block, trying to show how severe the world was. Between those two blocks, R&D kind of said, they weren't very fond of minus one counter. Structurally, the problem with them is you want the game to end. So you need to have inertia making the game end. Plus one counters are great. Things grow. They get bigger. They get more powerful. They increase the inertia of the game. Minus ones tend to shrink creatures. They make them weaker. They make attacking less likely. And what happens is it tends to slow the game down. It sort of fights inertia. And so... one of the big worries is that R&D had kind of ridden off minus one counters. But we're like, well, but we're on, like, they were so... minus one counters started... Sorry. I'm mixing this up. They started in Shadowmoor. That's where they started. We then also did them Scars of Mirrodin. But actually, Wither and Persist are from Shadowmoor. I'm confusing myself. The way we use them in Scars of Mirrodin is what we did, like, we did Infect, we did Proliferate, and made use of stuff like that. But, actually, the very first set that used minus one counters as a broad theme was Shadowmoor, which is why we really wanted to bring them back. We really wanted to, originally, the idea we played around with is, what if we combine minus one, and plus one, plus one? What if Lorwyn had plus one counters and Shadowmoor had minus one counters? But it didn't take long to play with them to realize what the whole reason we stopped doing that in the first place is. When there's multiple counters that go in creature, especially in one makes them grow and one makes them shrink, it is very hard to tell what's going on. Oh, I have a 3-3 with a counter on it. Is that a 2-2? Is that a 4-4? Like, it's just... it makes the math so much harder to do if every single thing you have to, like, okay, what is that again? And so we decided that minus one counters, well, two things. One is, it's more different. We hadn't done them in a while. And it's more reminiscent of Shadowmoor. Lorwyn had really loud typo themes. It was going to feel like Lorwyn. We weren't really worried about that. But we started to do more hybrid. So yeah, we'll do some hybrid. But hybrid being in sets is not that odd these days. So hybrid didn't define it as much as we'd hoped. I mean, we do have hybrid there, obviously. So we played around with -1/-1 counters. The mechanic we actually ended up, which came really early in design, vision design, was Blight. And the idea of Blight is pretty straightforward. Is what if, as an additional cost, you could trade essentially power toughness of creatures, of your creatures? Like, oh, well, in order to cast the spell, I have to Blight 2. Well, then that means my 4/4 becomes a 2/2. Or maybe I kill my 2/2. Now, original Blight, the way it worked originally was you could only put it on a creature whose toughness was equal or greater than the Blight cost. We later got rid of that just because it wasn't worth the complexity. Like, it used to be if I had Blight 2, I couldn't put it on a 1/1. I think Blight, you could divide them as you wanted to. So I could put one of them on a 1/1, but I couldn't put two on a 1/1. They changed that in set design just because it wasn't worth the complication. Like, okay, my 1/1 could get two counters and die, and that was okay. So we really liked how Blight worked. And we liked the idea that just it was reminiscent of Shadowmoor. So we ended up deciding to do -1/-1 counters. It is a very challenging thing. And you'll notice in this set, we do let you Blight on your opponent's creatures. So there's a little bit of that. The nice thing is normally they get to choose where it goes. There's some -1/-1 counters. But we were trying to be more careful how we use them to sort of not get into the same environment we were having trouble with in previous -1/-1 environments. We also invented a new mechanic called Vivid. What Vivid was is kind of like Domain. Domain's a mechanic first introduced in Invasion, although not named there, where you had scalable effects that scaled off the number of basic land types you had. This is the same thing. It just scales off the number of colors you have. It's an interesting, Vivid in vision design worked a lot like how Party worked, which was each card could only add one to your count. So, for example, let's say I had a black creature and a red or green creature. I could count my black creature as black. I could count my red or green creature as either red or green. So my Vivid count would be 2. Eventually, kind of like Blight, what they figured out in set design was it wasn't worth the complication. And it was kind of fun to go, oh, I'm playing my hybrid guy to get the extra color. So now, if I have a black creature and a red and green creature, I get black, red, and green. I get all the colors that my creatures represent. So yeah, a 5-color creature will give me a Vivid of 5. The other reason Vivid is interesting is that Vivid clearly felt Shadowmoor in the sense that it's a color matters mechanic, and color matters with Shadowmoor. But something about counting colors had a much more of a bright aspect to it. Like, we ended up calling the mechanic Vivid, which the optimistic tone to it felt like Lorwyn. So we liked the idea that we had access to mix them. And there's a lot of fun stuff we were able to do because we could mix them back and forth. Okay. We also had a little bit of transforming. So one of the big questions, when I first pitched the idea of going back to Lorwyn, one of the things I was really excited by was double-faced cards existed. Now, because remember, the Aurora doesn't exist anymore. So something like night-day doesn't make sense. It is not all day or all night. Once again, marble cake. Everything's mixed. So the idea that individual creatures can be Lorwyn and turn to the Shadowmoor side or vice versa was pretty cool. And so I think pretty early on, the idea was, now that they change universally, they change independently, because in the world, things change independently now. And we, at one point, we were pretty high. We started pretty high in vision design. I think we were thinking of like, oh, what if it's like Innistrad? What if like there's a slot in every pack? And what we eventually learned was there are a bunch. So here was the biggest trick. What we wanted is to show that Innistrad and Shadowmoor are different, but similar. Like, what we did in Innistrad is, like, I'm a human, and I turn into a big, bad werewolf. You want it to be the big, bad werewolf. The big, bad werewolf is way more powerful than the tiny human. The tiny human is the drawback of it. But the idea is we didn't want to say, oh, Lorwyn is the little tiny people and Shadowmoor is the big... Like, the idea was we wanted... In fact, I think on all the double-faced cards, I believe this is true. This is true at handoff. Is all the power toughness on each side is the same. Meaning, if I'm a 2-2 on my Lorwyn side, I'm a 2-2 on my Shadowmoor side. That when you're changing the element of what you are and who you are, you're not fundamentally... I mean, you are you, just your outlook and some attributes are a little bit different. But it's not like you change from tiny to huge. You are you. It turned out that trying to get really good designs that we liked, it wasn't a one-way transformation as well. You could go back and forth between Lorwyn and Shadowmoor. So it couldn't just be play side A, get to side B, and you're done, which is a lot simpler. It was play side A, somehow get to side B. And we also decided that we liked it, rather than have a trigger that made it happen, we liked that you had some control. The idea being that if I'm in Lorwyn, I could walk to Shadowmoor and turn to my Shadowmoor side. I have a lot more control than I did once upon a time. So we ended up making it that there's mana. You can pay mana. And a lot of them have, when you transform, things happen. So it kind of encourages you to go back and forth. But anyway, we ended up, I think, only having 7 transform cards. So that started as a much bigger part of the set. And as we sort of worked with it, we realized it was very exacting what we needed. And so rather, like, just make the ones that make the most sense. And we ratcheted down on that. Okay. Other things. Evoke. So Evoke was a very popular mechanic I had made, actually, in Lorwyn. The idea when I originally made it was I liked the idea of spells that kicked into creatures. So the idea was they were instant sorceries, and if you paid the kicker cost, they became creatures. Turns out the game really doesn't like instant sorceries on the battlefield, and the words needed to transform it from instant sorcery into a creature was wordy. So what we ended up doing was... We made it such that you had creatures that had entered the battlefield effects. If you paid their evoke cost, they were cheaper, but then they went away. But if you paid the full cost, then you got their ETB effects and you got the creature. So it had the sense I wanted, which is this option between spell or spell and creature. And that incarnation of them did allow it to happen. We talked a lot about do we want evoke. Evoke was a popular mechanic. In the end, we ended up making a cycle. I think they're mythic rare. And what we did is we combined them with another mechanic from Shadowmoor, where depending on what mana, there's a 10-card cycle in Shadowmoor of spells that depending on what mana you used to pay them affected what they did. So we sort of took the Evoke creatures and that Shadowmoor cycle and morphed them together into creatures, incarnations, where when you play them, they're hybrid creatures, and if you pay one cost, they do one enter effect, and if you pay the other... If you use the other color, they pay the other. And you, if you sort of mix and match them, you can get both effects if you're playing both colors. But the idea is they can go in each color deck and do something, but they're optimized in a two-color deck. Other things. We did end up putting Conspire and Persist and Wither in the set in cameos. So they do show up in small amount. There's a little bit of Convoke in the set because that played really well. There is a cycle of cards that are not exactly the champion mechanic, but are champion-inspired. I think it's a rare cycle. They all have champion in their name. The reason they're not champion exactly is one of the challenges of when we made champion. Champion was in Lorwyn. We were trying to do the idea of creatures evolving, but rather A always becoming B, we tied it to creature type. So any elf become this special elf. And the idea was... When you did it, you had to exile an elf you had from, or whatever the creature was from the game. Then if your creature died, you got that creature back. So now you have to behold a creature, and then you exile the beholded creature, and then if the creature dies, the beholded creature goes back to your hand. So it allows you to have value of having the card in your hand rather than having it be on the battlefield, because that's not exactly what Evoke is. We couldn't write Evoke on the card. That's not what Champion is. We couldn't write Champion on the cards. So we made the nod toward that. Another thing that we brought back that I was skeptical we were going to. So Lorwyn introduced a new card type at the time called Tribal. We now refer to it as Kindred. So the idea was Kindred allows you to put creature types onto non-creature card types. You can have enchantments or artifacts or instants or sorceries that are goblin or elf or whatever. And we did that because there's some interaction where whenever you cast a goblin or get a goblin back from your graveyard, there's some things where there is interaction where it not being a creature does mean something. What we ended up finding out is, I think we used them in Lorwyn block, or at least in Lorwyn. I don't think we used it in Shadowmoor. And then we brought them back on the Eldrazi in Battle for Zendikar block. But we eventually realized that it just adds a lot of words for cards, and most of the time, typal effects care about creatures, and so they're just, it didn't feel like there was enough things that mattered that it was worth putting all this extra words on cards. So we stopped doing it. And then we did a little bit in Modern Horizons 3 for the Eldrazi, because the Eldrazi had used it when the Eldrazi were in Battle for Zendikar. And then when we came back to lore, we were like, well, this is the place where it came from. Okay, maybe we'll do a little bit of it. So I think there's 13 cards with Kindred, two of which are reprints from original Lorwyn block. So we included that. And then, like I said, we ended up kicking out plus one counters from -1, -1. Oh, we introduced a new creature type, Sorcerer. We'd started using Shaman a lot less, and we like to have five sort of spell user types so we can put them on different color creatures. So we introduced Sorcerer here. So Sorcerer introduced. What have I not mentioned? 283 cards. Art director was Deborah Garcia. Codename was Wrestling. The set came out January 23rd, 2026. Okay, I'm almost to work. So let me walk through the draft archetypes real quick. And then we will call it a day. Okay, so white-blue is Merfolk. So we brought back Merfolk in Lorwyn had this theme of tapping as a cost, that both you could tap them and they cared about being tapped. So some of them had rewards for being tapped. When you tapped them, it generated effects. And then other things required you to tap Merfolk to do things. So tapping Merfolk both became a cost you could pay and a thing that could generate effects and bonus. So we brought that back. I think all the typals are in the colors they existed in Lorwyn. Blue-black is kind of a flash control. It's got a little bit of a fairy theme. When we originally were looking at doing ally colors, fairies were one of our five. But when we decided to sort of go where we can mix around colors, we ended up dropping fairies from the major ones. Fairies weren't actually a major tribe in the previous visit, but they ended up becoming really, really powerful and constructed. So when people think of Lorwyn, they do think of fairies because of how powerful they were constructed. There was less fairies in the set in Lorwyn than there were a lot of the other types. But anyway, there is, if you play blue-black, there is a little bit of a fairy type element to that theme. It's not as strong as the other type of themes, but it is there a little bit if you like fairies. Black-red is goblins, and they play around with -1/-1 counters, with blight and other -1/-1 synergies. Red-green is vivid mid-range, so that plays around with wanting a lot of colors. It's red and green, and red and green are the colors that can most easily splash for colors. And so it's red-green, but it does let you splash other colors, and the idea is to get all five colors represented. Note, because of hybrid, you can do some of that without even going outside of mountains and forests. Green-white is Kithkin. Kithkin are a go-wide deck. They're the ones most likely to make tokens, have small creatures. Green and white are the creature colors, so it makes a lot of sense. White-black is Blight Control. So that is the idea where I'm using -1/-1 counters, but I'm more often to blight my opponent, more often to sort of use them. And there is some amount of blighting in our stuff in white-black. But anyway, it uses blight in a slower, more controlling way. Blue-red is elementals. Elementals have they want you to play bigger spells, spells that are four or greater, and there's rewards for doing that. Black-green are elves. Elves have a graveyard theme. They want you to sort of recur stuff from the graveyard, and they care about things being in the graveyard, so they have a graveyard theme. Red-white is blight aggro. So that is more playing, using blight and -1/-1 counters in a more aggressive. So white-black is blight control. Red-white is blight aggro. And then green-blue is vivid ramp. The idea, it's a ramp environment, ramp strategy, which green-blue does a lot. And then vivid, much like you're doing with vivid mid-range, it wants you to splash a little bit. Once again, hybrid can accomplish a lot of these tasks. But the idea is, in the extra bonus things, Vivid is in red, green, and green, blue. Vivid, red, green, a little faster than green, blue. And then Blight is in white, black, and red, white. Red, white being a little faster than white, black. Blue, black makes use of things cast faster. There's a little bit of -1, -1 counter there. But also, like I said, it's playing to fairies. There are tree folk and giants. That's the two other. There are eight creature types that we really focused on in lore and block. Five of them are the draft archetypes. Fairies show up a little bit in the black-blue deck. And then there are tree folk and giants. They're not quite as typo. I mean, there's a few typo cards with them, but they're more made for constructed than limited, although they do show up in limited, and you can, depending on what you draft early sometimes, there are a few typo cards you can draft earlier that maybe you can do a little bit. We did, by the way, bring back changelings. One of the things we did is, and this is true whenever we bring back things, not only do we whenever we bring back a set, we have to look at it mechanically and figure out, okay, are there mechanical things we want to do? What mechanics to bring back? What do we tweak? What do we do new? The same is for the creative. And I think the idea for the changelings was, one of the things we decided at the first visit is shapeshifters really can throw a wrench in story sometimes, because if anybody can be anybody, there's this assumption of, oh, how do I know that this person's that person? And Brady Donnermuth, who was in charge of creative during Lorwyn, really put his foot down and said, I don't want anybody to be confused that changelings, any creature could be a changeling. So he came up with what we sort of refer to as the jello mold kind of look of them. We redid them a little bit. They had the same philosophy, which is you can tell a changeling a changeling. Changelings aren't fooling anybody that they're changeling. Yeah, they can change their shape. They're shapeshifters. And they can mimic things. That's why the typo works with them. But they're not, from a story perspective, it's not like you don't know that that's a changeling. You can see it's a changeling. So they did do, and there was a lot of, once again, one of the challenges, I guess I should mention this. One of the biggest challenges of doing the set was it was going to be one set. Like I said, just getting the green light for one set was tricky. And I do fundamentally believe that the mixing of Lorwyn and Shadowmoor is the thing that allows the set to sort of have this core identity that separates Lorwyn and Shadowmoor from other worlds. I think the duality is the most exciting part of Lorwyn and Shadowmoor. And I believe we could do that in one set. The challenge is there are four sets, two large sets and two small sets of things that we could pull from. And unlike Kamigawa, when we went back and redid Kamigawa, there wasn't a lot to salvage. There's ninjutsu, and that was it. I mean, we did bring back channel, but that channel's the thing we do all the time. We decided we didn't need to name it, but we brought it back name just because we're trying to be reminiscent of Kamigawa. There was way, way less to bring back. I mean, there's some individual cycles, some cards, but mechanically there was a lot more to bring back in Lorwyn Shadowmoor. Not everything was a success. I'm not sure the average person can even tell you what Conspire does, but there was a lot to work with, and that one of the challenges is we had one set. For example, one of the complaints I got is that we didn't do a lot with the Lorwyn coloring of things. That if, elves, for example, on Shadowmoor, we didn't do a lot with the Shadowmoor coloring of things. On Shadowmoor, elves went from green-black to green-white. Oh, where are all the white elves? Well, we didn't do that. We were trying to do a typal theme. Typal themes are really exacting what you need to do. We made it black-green. So there aren't elves showing up in white. Somebody did bring up the good point that we could have made the backsides of the double face cards we could have changed them into the colors they were on Shadowmoor. That's a fine note, a good note. The other thing, by the way, is I think our current philosophy in the world of mostly one sets is if we do something and players really like it, the fact that we do so many different worlds, it just makes it easier to come back to things. Back in the world where a block existed for a whole block, it took a long time to come back to something, unless it was a major, major, major hit. But now we have a lot more ability to come back. And I will say, at the time of taping this, Lorwyn is looking like it's going to be a big hit. At the time of me recording this, pre-releases had happened. That there's a lot of on my blog, I've seen a lot of excitement. People are really excited. And one of the notes in general is, where is I wanted these more of these unique creature types that showed up in Eventide. I wanted to see more of this theme or that theme or this mechanic or that mechanic. Like, a lot of it is, there's the thing that I loved from Lorwyn Shadowmoor block, and that thing isn't here. And the answer essentially is, look, we had one set. There's only so much we could get into one set. I think we prioritize what we thought were the best things. But I get it. You know, if you... There was no way for us to get everything that was Lorwyn Shadowmoor. Now, the good news is, we can go back there. We can visit again. And, you know, when you leave things on the table, there's stuff you can do when you get to revisit. So, I am excited that there is some gas in the tank, if you will, that if we go back to Lorwyn Shadowmoor, there's other things we can do. But anyway, like I said, one of the things that is always interesting is returns can be a tricky thing. Returns are all about kind of recapturing what players liked. And when something's a runaway hit, that's a lot easier because, oh, well, this is what players liked. When something isn't, when something has a lot more challenge to it, it's like, okay, you know, let's figure out what people like. What was the kernel of something really cool? But we have to sort of work with it. A lot of sort of revisits on unpopular places, at least from the first time out, is figuring out what was the cool thing about it, how did it shine, you know, and is there ways for us to sort of to find something that we can, how do we take the essence of what made Lorwyn Lorwyn? Oh, the other thing I should mention is we spent a lot of time, and we, the creative team and the artists, trying to recapture the feel of Lorwyn, which I think they did an amazing job. The set really captures... Lorwyn had a very distinctive feel to it, which at the time was controversial, by the way. At the time, there were people that didn't like how light it was, that wasn't magic. But magic has gone through a lot since then. We've done a lot. We've done Eldraine. We've done Bloomborough. That we've definitely showed that magic can expand to lighter tones. So it was fun really doing that, getting back some old artists. You know, I really think they did an amazing job of adding a lot of layers just to the look and feel of the set. So anyway, guys, I hope you guys enjoy Lorwyn Eclipsed. It was super fun to make. And like I said, there was a lot of moving pieces. It was a very challenging design. In the sense that we really wanted to capture what people loved about the world. We wanted to do right by Lorwyn and Shadowmoor. We had a lot of things we could do, and we had a lot of themes that we had to intermix. And, you know, making color matters viable while making typo viable, it's not as easy as it sounds. Obviously, we did it. It's doable. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed Lorwyn Eclipsed. Like I said, very proud of it. I think we did. We made a super fun set. And even if you are not a old timer that knew Lorwyn and Shadowmoor, played Lorwyn and Shadowmoor, even if you just played with the cards and heard about it, it's fun to have the revisit. And I, as a fan of Magic, who love Magic, who have, you know, there's no one more enfranchised than me. I'm so happy. Like I said, I've been trying to get us back to Lorwyn forever. So I'm happy to finally see it happen. So anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I got a little extra bonus time and some traffic. But luckily I got to talk more about Lorwyn Eclipsed, so that was good. But I'm now at work, so we all know that means the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.